The next case is 0568, State Ex Rel, the Cincinnati Enquirer versus Malcolm Adcock, Ph.D. On this case, Justice Resnick has recused herself, as she did in the last case, and Judge Grady from the Second Appellate District will continue to sit in place of Justice Resnick. Let me wait till I call you, please. Mr. Greiner.
May it please the court, counsel, I'm Jack Greiner. I'm here representing the Cincinnati Enquirer. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please. Your Honors, there really are many points here that are undisputed, many critical points that are undisputed. Point number one that is undisputed is that the lead citation records at issue are public records. There is no great dispute on that point. These records document and record the activities of the Cincinnati Health Department. The addresses are directly the names and addresses of the property owners to whom abatement orders are issued are directly part of the health department's function. You simply need to know which address is to be abated. And they are of a great public interest. The public has a right to know if there are health hazards in the community. They have a right to know if the health department is abating those health hazards, if the health department is following up on abatement orders. So there is great, great public interest in these records. The lead citation, it is undisputed that the lead citation records themselves do not disclose private health information. The record does not disclose, and this is undisputed, does not disclose any individually identifiable health information. There is no name of a person.
Yes. I want to really clarify that. I want to make sure I understand what exactly is in this. The child is tested at the school, I believe, correct?
The child can be tested pretty much anywhere.
But if the testing authority finds elevated lead levels, that test then is required to be sent to the health department, correct?
I don't know, honestly, that the test itself is. There is notification to the health department. This could be a doctor visit as well, but there is notification to the health department. I don't honestly know if the test itself is delivered, but there is notification.
And then the health department will go to the home and do the follow-up and a lead citation if it determines that's required.
Well, the home, the school,
whatever,
the daycare
yes.
center. I mean, that's an important point here.
But nowhere in that citation is the test result document, the medical record document itself that says that the lead level was X.
No.
Okay, so this is the citation, but it is absent the actual medical record of the child that led to the investigation.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to be sure that that's my understanding.
That is correct. I'm not sure, honestly, that the Court of Appeals completely understood that, to be perfectly honest with you. But if you look in the record, we have provided a sample of the citation, and it will bear out exactly what you and I just talked about.
But the citation identifies the location of the real property.
It does.
And the real property in dispute are single-family residences?
Some. Not all. I mean, in fact, there were 170 citations that were initially not turned over that were multifamily daycare schools. So
those are no longer an issue.
Those are well, only with respect to attorney's fees, but they have been turned over, Your Honor. I don't know that they are all single family residents. There may be duplexes.
If they are single family residences, wouldn't it be more likely then that the identity of the child could be determined from this information?
Certainly more likely than a daycare or a school, clearly, but I don't know that it's probable because these citations, for example, go back to 1994. There is no way to know who's living there now. There's also no guarantee, and in fact, it is probable that the owner of the residence doesn't even live at that residence if it's, for example, rental property, which I suspect much of this is.
Going back to your first point that these records are definitely public records, are indisputably public records. I agree they're maintained by a public office or agency. But isn't the whole HIPAA argument that they are outside the definition of public records in the statute because they're records the release of which is prohibited by federal law?
No, Your Honor. They are not prohibited. The release
of
these documents.
I mean, that's the thrust of that argument, that they are therefore not public records.
Well, no, Your Honor.
the analysis is the record a public record first, and then is it exempt from production? So the HIPAA wouldn't negate the characteristic of these documents as being a public record. It would simply say, despite the fact that they are public record, they're exempt from production if HIPAA applied, which it does not. For example, a recent case regarding state employee addresses, for example, were found to be not public records. They didn't fall under an exemption per se. They just weren't public records. So that's the difference. These are public records without any question. The question then becomes, does any exemption apply to them? And the fact of the matter is, no exemption applies to them.
Wasn't it asserted that HIPAA precludes information that would individually identify health information?
The city initially asserted that, and that is the only exception that they've applied. And they took the position that HIPAA applies to these records, and the privacy rule of HIPAA precludes their production, and therefore they would be exempt pursuant to that section of the Ohio Public Records Law that says records the release of which are barred by state or federal law. The problem with that argument is that the HIPAA privacy rule doesn't bar disclosure of these records because the HIPAA privacy rule at 45 CFR 164.103 tells us that if the records are otherwise required to be produced by public law, by a state law, then the HIPAA rule doesn't apply.
I had a real problem with that argument because you're saying somehow that HIPAA says that because these are public records, they're required to be disclosed, but the Public Record Act itself contains a clear prohibition if the federal law says they can't. I mean, it was a circular argument that didn't make much sense to me. I mean, a better argument seems to be that this is not a medical record that would lead to, or that would lead to discovery, but to argue that HIPAA, I mean, you're on one hand saying HIPAA allows it, and then the public record statute says, no, it can't because HIPAA prohibits it. It was a circular argument I could not follow.
It's a little confusing at first, I agree, but I think the way you go through the analysis and the Texas Attorney General opinion that we reference and that is part of the record has at page 5 has a very good explanation of just exactly how you go through that analysis.
It was the same circular argument, in my opinion, the Attorney General argument.
I think what you need to do, Your Honor, is look at the record and say, and put HIPAA aside for a second, and say, is this record covered by the State Public Records Act?
Agreed.
Number one.
Okay.
Number two, you then say, are there any exemptions under the State Public Records Act? Putting HIPAA aside for just a second, are there any exemptions under the State Public Records Act that would prohibit the disclosure of this document? For example, many medical records would fall under the State Public Records Act medical records exemption and overlap with HIPAA, and therefore they would not be produced. But this record is not a medical record under the State Public Records Act. You're
okay.
Absolutely correct about that. No dispute.
No exemptions.
So now you go through and you say, okay, this is a record that must be produced under state law.
Does HIPAA
prohibit it? And you go to the privacy rule, and you go to 164.103, I'm not arguing this. This absolutely says it, Your Honor. It says that if state law requires the production, the HIPAA privacy rule doesn't prohibit it. It's not circular. That's the analysis you go.
And that's the issue that you want us to address. And that is the issue in contest here.
Your Honor, I want the records to be produced. If you go about it by saying that they are not medical records covered by the HIPAA privacy rule, that would be fine. And you could certainly make that argument, because the question is it reasonable to conclude that this lead citation that's issued to a property owner to abate lead is going to lead to the production or discovery of personally identifiable health information?
That's That's not what the exemption talks about. That would be designed to lead to, it says, government records that reveal individually identifiable health information.
Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of giving the city more of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, even the city would say that these records on their face clearly don't reveal any of that information. I mean, if you read the city's brief, they're going to tell you the fear is that somebody's going to go through a crisscross index and connect a lot of dots and get to that. But no, on their face, these records are not.
The synthesis of your argument is that these are public records and there isn't any federal HIPAA or other regulation that would preclude their disclosure.
You could certainly so find that. Your Honor.
Is that your argument?
We've argued in the alternative, Your Honor. We've also argued that even if these records would somehow qualify as personally identifiable health information under HIPAA, that nonetheless they do need to be produced pursuant to the State Public Records Act, and that overrides the HIPAA privacy rule. But we're arguing in the alternative.
Thank you.
Counsel, if you prevail, what's the most information that you will have access to that you could publish?
We would have the information regarding the name of the owner of the property who received the abatement order and the address to which the abatement order applied. That would be it.
And you would not have the name of the individual child that was tested?
No, Your Honor. Absolutely would not. And Your Honor, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've reserved a couple minutes for rebuttal, but I do want to touch on, I do believe also, Your Honors, that this is a case where attorney's fees should be awarded for two reasons. One is that 170 of these records were not turned over until after this case was pending before this court. So we had to go through the complaint, the writ proceeding, through the hearing, and only after all of that were 170 of these records turned over. And those records, even allowing for the city's theory, don't comply with that theory. You can't get to an individual through 170 of these records, and yet we were forced to file the action, argue it in the Court of Appeals, and only long after that did we get those records. With respect to the other records that are still at issue.
Let me ask you a question about that. That release was a result of a partially successful mediation.
I disagree with that 100%, Your Honor. We definitely went through mediation. We made it very clear that if they released those, there would be that there was no quid pro quo for that release. We took the position right from the get-go.
That's not my question. My question is, you
chronologically,
disagree,
yes, Your Honor.
You disagree with the notion that 170 of them were the product of a partially successful mediation, the release.
I would disagree with that. Chronologically, we had the mediation, and thereafter they released them, but there was no quid pro quo. I mean, whatsoever. I think they're using the mediation as cover, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm not asking about quid pro quo. I'm asking. So you're saying the mediation was unsuccessful in its totality, that the release had nothing to do with mediation?
I think that's right, Your Honor, because there was no quid pro quo whatsoever for the release of this.
I still don't follow the quid pro quo.
We said if you want to turn them over to us, feel free. We think you should have done that from the get-go. We're not agreeing that that has any significance in terms of a settlement. We're not offering anything in return.
I think the problem is that mediation does not always require a quid pro quo. Parties can agree to mediate and resolve their dispute without a quid pro quo. I think that's the problem.
Yeah. My concern with the mediation argument is I think it's being used for cover.
My question is awarding of attorney fees where there's been a partially successful mediation or something comes about.
I understand your point.
That undermine the mediation program?
From my perspective, Your Honor, I think the mediation was used for cover to produce these, and I have trouble with that. And I also think that the other records should have been produced from the get-go. I do not think there was any reasonable basis to withhold them. Your Honor, my time
was this the first time that we've dealt with the HIPAA public records conflict?
Your Honor,
is this
the
first case, to your knowledge, that this has been raised?
This may be the first case in the nation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greiner. Mr. Nestor.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the Court, Terry Nestor on behalf of the City of Cincinnati and its Department of Health. This case presents the dichotomy between the public health department's dueling roles. On the one hand, the State of Ohio has mandated that entities that are political subdivisions of the state must comply and be the custodians of Ohio's public records. On the other hand, federal law has defined individually identifiable health information as being in the custody of covered entities that serve as the guardian of private information of medical facts. There's no dispute in this case that the lead test itself is not contained in the record at issue. The only reason there is a lead inspection report is because a child is taken to some facility and it receives a mandated lead test, which then results in a report to the state and a report back to the local Department of Health requiring the local Board of Health to do an inspection. The piece of information, whether it be the name or the address, is demographic information as defined under HIPAA.
Counsel, is the purpose then for remediation of this lead hazard, correct?
Yes.
I mean, it's not just doesn't stop with the reporting. Your follow-up to that is to make sure that for continued habitation that there's some remediation done, that there's some funds available depending on what the circumstances are, et cetera.
Correct. And this is not a lead citation into court. This is not some sort of procedure that ends up...
It could lead to that if there's no remediation done of the lead presence.
Correct.
So the record here is truly the child's health condition is merely a trigger to institute this process between the health department, the state health department, and then back to the municipality for some remediation efforts.
Correct.
And the identity of the child then is never never surfaces again.
The identity of the child is available to the health department. The health department does not necessarily include it.
But they're not asking for that.
No. And the issue is not the identity of the child. The issue is that the child, and in particular in the case of single-family homes, could easily be identified by the demographic
information.
But that's
not precluded by the HIPAA prohibition. HIPAA only precludes identifiable health information.
Well,
you're suggesting if we give them this citation, it may lead to an identifiable health information.
Correct.
That's not prohibited by the statute, by the words of the
The regulation provides that individually identifiable health information, that is the stuff that is referred to as demographic information, and this is in 45 CFR section 16103, relates to the past, present, or future physical or mental health or condition of an individual, and with respect to which, if it's not the individual, the identification of the individual itself, there's a reasonable basis to believe the information can be used to identify the individual. That
is that
frankly,
the basis of the reason that you're not revealing this information?
Correct. And that's that is the reason all along the health department has asserted that, first, we have this new federal law that we're subject to civil and criminal penalties for if we violate. And based on this very broad definition of what is individual identifiable health information, there's a potential conflict with our duties to produce a medical record under Ohio Open Records Law. Mm-hmm. We have to have some sort of conclusion by which we can determine whether or not this is the records law or it's the federal HIPAA law, which is mandated to protect privacy.
Well, why is it then, if that's so, that you could release 170 of them but not the rest of them?
Well, I think
you get to make that determination?
Well, I think, frankly, there was a determination in mediation that the reasonable basis to believe the information could be used to identify the individual is not exactly as reasonable for those things that are more than single-family residences. That's the risk and the harm that remains at issue.
But is that the determination that your agency gets to make?
In the first instance, I believe that's the determination that is required under HIPAA, which makes it very difficult for a state department or a city department in this case to act as both the guardian of private personal information and the custodian for the purposes of the open record law when the two laws seem to say, state, well, if the federal government says it's okay or says it's prohibited, and the federal government seems to say, well, if the state law says it's required, then it's required. It seems as if there is a circular nature to the two different statutes, and it's very hard for a health department such as the city's health department to make a determination between those two roles as either guardian or custodian.
But it's not circular or difficult if Mr. Greiner's argument is followed, is it? I mean, if HIPAA says essentially to the state, if you permit or order or by statute require that certain records be available, be public, then is that not the end of it from HIPAA's standpoint? Do you agree with that? That's where the link maybe.
Well, I think that's the disagreement, is that we're saying that it does not require that it be disclosed under Ohio Open Records Law, because Ohio Open Records Law says if there's a federal law that prohibits it, and the two statutes seem to say the same thing about each other. The federal law is saying if the state government says it's required, then it's okay, and the state law is saying, well, if the federal government prohibits it, it is prohibited.
Well, let's then look at 149.43, the medical record definition. That clearly, these records are not medical records under the Ohio statute, are
well,
they?
I was thinking about that.
That's good.
And the medical record, and that's really kind of the conflict here, is the definition of medical records in Ohio state law and individually identifiable health information under federal law. And the federal law, the HIPAA law, provides a preemption of a contrary state law, and I believe it's contained in the CFR 160.200 and following that, which says if it's a stricter state law, then the state law can apply. The court below concluded that these health records, or lead inspection records in this case, were in fact a medical records, and they did not need – the court did not reach – the federal issue.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm having a problem with the Court of Appeals opinion. I think these are medical records. Well, to me, I have to be convinced they're medical records under the Ohio statute, because they clearly don't. They weren't produced in treatment of a patient, were they?
Well, that I think really depends on how the court chooses to define treatment of a patient, because as Your Honor pointed out, it's to abate lead, but the reason why lead is abated is to prevent further contamination of a child whose blood level indicated a positive lead testing result.
Well, it says that pertains to the medical history, diagnosis, prognosis, medical condition of a patient, and that is generated and maintained in the process of medical treatment. We have no idea whether these children are being treated, do we?
Sure, well,
somebody knows they have a high level of lead, but that's not what the statute is designed to.
Well, I think that the whole lead inspection program, the whole reason why we have blood level tests reported to the state from an individual physician who gets a mandated, who, because you live in a zip code, you have to go and have your child tested for lead. The reason why the state of Ohio does that is so treatment occurs. And that treatment may well be lead abation. And the reason why we have lead abation is so that children don't continue to be contaminated by lead.
Process of medical treatment, that would seem to me to be an individual patient who has gone to a physician or whatever and is being treated by a physician. That record cannot be made public. But where you have a school counselor or somebody who – or the test at a school that says this child has a high level of lead in her blood, we better go check the source, you know, the residents. That's treatment?
And in this court's case – 1995 case, this is not in my brief, it's WLWT versus Snowden, which is also a Cincinnati, Ohio case. The question was the release of a psychologist's report, and the court in that case determined that a medical record is not necessarily limited to a physician's report, and went on to say that medical, in the context of treatment, means, quote, science and art of investigation, prevention, cure, and alleviation of disease. I'll submit to this court that the cure, prevention, and alleviation of lead poisoning is the exact reason why we have a lead inspection process in the state of Ohio. And the only reason these children are identified is because they go to their doctor, and that doctor then, as required, submits that information to the state, which then sends the information to the city, which then does lead abatement for the benefit of that child.
Counselor, when you had those documents that were released and they were an apartment building, for example, am I correct in assuming that when you say multiple family dwellings were released and
yes,
child care centers and schools,
right,
et cetera, there was no apartment number? It was just an address?
Your Honor, I can't speak to I couldn't give you an example out of those many things. Some of them were a particular address. Some of them were schools. There may have been numbers. Of that, I am unsure. I think how it happens is it goes to the person who is listed as the property owner. So in that circumstance, it may well go to a landlord, And that's one of the reasons
why.
But
does it identify the address in the notice, the address at, you know, 123 Brown Street, even though it's going to 5678 Green Street?
I cannot answer Your Honor's question. In the particulars, I believe it goes to the property owner, but I don't know that it necessarily goes to 123. Typically, when you have a lead inspection, if it's a building, for example, an older apartment building, the entire older apartment building is going to have the same lead issues, so you're not going to have apartment 1, 2, 3, and 4. And that's why it might be a little bit more difficult to have a reasonable basis to determine who that individual is, as opposed to a single-family residence where it's just quite easy to identify, even if they're gone, the person who may have lived there at the time of the lead inspection investigation.
Are there other treatments for lead poisoning to a child than just abatement of the lead?
Your Honor, there are. I'm sure there are, and those are not of record, but I know that there are lead treatment programs for children who have high blood level, mm-hmm. lead levels. But in this circumstance, the first line of defense, and I would submit the reason why we have this process, is to have the residents of individual children and families abated.
Let me go back to a question I asked counsel. The Public Records Act 14943 defines public records, and if it's not a public record, then the requirements of the Act don't apply. 14943A1V says it's not a public record if it's a record the release of which is prohibited by state or federal law. So if the release is prohibited by the terms of HIPAA, it's not a public record that the Public Records Act applies to.
I would agree with Mr. Greiner that there are basically three lines of analysis that this court has for public records cases. The first one is the determination, as in it's the most recent case, which involved state employee addresses, is this a public record? And I think the determination, the threshold determination, is this a public record, is something that we have basically agreed to all along. It is a public record. Then the second line of cases is, if it is a public record, what exception applies? It doesn't make it not a public record. It simply says it's accepted from disclosure because of the exception recognized by Ohio law, that one being, in this case, the HIPAA law. The third line of cases is kind of the generalized balancing test when there's some sort of generalized federal privacy claim that would be under 149A1. V in this instance, or in the past it was a different subsection, in which the court does a balancing test and says there's some generalized federal constitutional right to privacy that's involved in these circumstances. I would submit in this case we don't even have to get to the generalized federal constitutional privacy claim because in this particular circumstance, Congress and the Department of Health and Human Services have reduced to specific legislation that privacy concern that all individuals have with their medical records. And because of that, the release is specifically prohibited.
Prohibited. Then why is it a public record?
Well, because that's the analysis that the court has gone through with these particular – it's the exception analysis that says even if it is a public record, then the exception applies.
But it's your position that HIPAA prohibits it?
Yes, sir.
Because the Cincinnati Health Department is a covered entity?
Exactly.
And the records concerned are medical records, the release of which reasonably may permit the identity of the persons involved.
Well, and I think that is the definition of medical records truly joins the issue of which does HIPAA in this circumstance preempt state law, because the HIPAA definition of individually identifiable health information is, I would agree, much broader than the state's definition of a medical record.
Mr. Could you answer whether or not you're aware of any other cases in which the HIPAA exception has been applied to a public record request like this?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of any other cases that are similar to this case in which the HIPAA exception is applied in the open records context, but for the Texas and Kentucky opinions that are appended in the appendix of the appellant's brief and which do not speak to a covered entity.
Thank you.
Counsel, with the issue of attorney fees, the addresses that you did ultimately release, were some of those something other than a personal residence?
Yes.
such as daycare or schools. It would seem that there wouldn't be any rational basis for withholding that kind of information in the first place, and there would be a valid, important community concern to know that high lead contents existed in public facilities to which more than one child would be exposed.
Well, and in that circumstance, I think that the mediation was successful in the sense that we made a determination that it would be the reasonableness arguments that can be made in regards to a single-family home are less persuasive.
I'm focusing particularly just in on attorney fees.
Right. And I think in this circumstance,
for that portion of it, I don't know how many that is. How many of the?
I'm not sure what the. It may be approaching two-thirds.
Two-thirds were public facilities.
Well, no, not public facilities. I don't know what the percentage of precise public facilities, but those things that are more than single-family homes. And the reason why I believe...
Well, no, I'm not asking about apartment buildings. I'm asking about...
Right. I could not give to Your Honor a precise... Right. I don't know out of those records what percentage was a school, a daycare, or something like that. I think that the reason why it remains true for those, which is the health department was concerned about the potential for civil and criminal liability for the violation of this somewhat vague and confusing HIPAA mandate. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Nestor.
Your Honor, if there are no further questions, I would waive my rebuttal.
All right. Okay. Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion. Marshal, please adjourn court.